Praise the Lord Jesus Christ. This is Thurman Scrivener with the Living Savior Ministries again today. Let's come to the Heavenly Father in prayer. Father, as we go through the Word of God talking about the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I ask you to bless and anoint the Word of God. As it goes forth, you will give us revelation and wisdom and knowledge and understanding of what we can do in the mighty name of Jesus. As we are sons and daughters of yours, Lord, there is no limitations to what we can do in your name. It all revolves around faith. What we believe we can do by faith in the name of Jesus. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for the revelation you've given us. Thank you for giving us the owner's manual and telling us what we can do. Now, Lord, help us to understand who we are and what we can do in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for the word. Bless it and reveal it to us as it goes out today. In Jesus' name, amen. Now we're in Acts chapter 9, starting off verse 36 today. We're talking about these great things that has been going on, what's been happening, and what people do in the name of Jesus. And I've shared with you a few testimonies this week about some of the things I've seen the Lord do in the name of Jesus. I have seen him do many, many wonderful things when I've used his name. I mean, even like this example we're going to talk about right here. In verse 36, and now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. And this woman was full of good works and alms deeds which she did. And it came to pass in those days that she was sick. Now there's the enemy. The devil is there. The devil is the one that puts sickness and disease upon us. But this woman was sick, and she died, whom when they had washed, they laid her in an upper chamber. And for as much as Lydia was nigh to Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent unto him two men, desiring that he would not delay to come to them. Now, why do you think they wanted Peter? Because Peter was a man of great, precious faith. After Peter got there, said, then Peter rose and went with them. And when he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by him, weeping and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was with him. But Peter put them all forth and kneeled down and prayed. Now, this is the secret. You know, instead of looking at the coats and the things that people do, if they're still young enough, if they haven't fulfilled their life. Now, of course, the Bible says that we're all going to die physically someday. Now, we have a whole lot more control over that than we realize. So we don't have to die until our days are fulfilled. But we must walk holy and in faith to be able to fulfill those days. But obviously this woman had not fulfilled her days. But anyway, it says, but Peter put them all forth and then kneeled down and prayed. Now, of course, another thing you need to do is when you got a bunch of believers, supposedly, that are unbelieving believers, that's what you need to do. You need to put them all out. When he says he put them all forth, then he kneeled down and prayed, and turning him to the body said, Tabitha, arise. Now, think about this. This was a man of great faith. Peter was a man that believed he had power over death, just like Jesus had told him, that in the name of Jesus, when we speak in the name of Jesus, nothing's impossible. But most of us, our Jesus is not very big. He is a little bitty Jesus. I know mine was a lot of years of my life being raised up in a traditional denominational church. I had no idea of how powerful the name of Jesus really was. But Peter, he had learned. And as he put out all those people and kneeled down and prayed, and that's what we all need to do. We need to learn how to kneel down and pray in faith. And then after we prayed and asked God what he wants us to do in a situation, it's obvious Peter got revelation from God, and the Lord told him what to do, and that was to raise this woman from the dead. So Peter turned to the body and said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. And he gave her his hand and lifted her up, and when he had called the saints and widows, presented her alive. Now, think about that. A lot of people, you know, if you even think about trying to raise somebody from the dead, most people don't believe. I know several years ago, there was a man that had worked with me for many years, and in the wee hours of the morning, he had a heart attack and died. He also was a member of a denominational church, not the same one I was in, but still it was a denominational church that didn't believe that the mighty power of God and the name of Jesus would produce these kind of results. So this man died. He had a heart attack. And his son-in-law came over, and they tried to resuscitate him. He was a paramedic. They shock-treated him. They done everything they knew to do, and they could not bring him back to life. So they finally give up. They quit. And about 20 or 30 minutes later, the son-in-law called me and said, "Thurman, we've lost so-and-so tonight, and I just wanted to let you know that he's gone. He had a heart attack and died." I said, "Let's pray." He said, "No, Thurman, it's too late to pray. He's been dead 20 or 30 minutes." I said, "It's never too late to pray." This woman, Tabitha, right here, Dorcas, she had been dead who knows how long. Maybe hours, you know, but after she died, they sent for Peter, and Peter was a long ways off. So who knows? It might have been several hours, might have been a day. But anyway, a lot of time had went by. Well, today we got telephones, and this man called me, and this man had only been dead 20 or 30 minutes. And when I said, "Let's pray," he said, "Thurman, it's too late to pray. He's dead." I said, "It's never too late to pray. I mean, never, when you pray in faith." And he couldn't fathom that. So I said, "Then I will pray." So I rebuked the spirit of death, commanded the spirit of death to get his hands off of this brother of mine, take him, loose him, in the mighty name of Jesus. And then I asked the Father in Jesus' name to put the spirit of life back in him and bring him back to life. Now then, that's pretty awesome. I had the faith to do that, and God did it for this man. This man was in his early 60s, and this man came back to life. He started breathing. They took him down to a hospital here in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex. Actually, the hospital was in Irving where they took him. They took him down there, and of course his son-in-law told me, he said, "Thurman, he's breathing. I don't understand what's happened." Well, I understood what happened. I rebuked the enemy, the spirit of death, and asked the Father in Jesus' name to put the spirit of life back in him, and he did. And so he said, "I'm going to take him to the hospital in Irving." I said, "Okay." It was, two or 3 o'clock in the morning, whatever time it was, wee hours of the morning. I said, "Okay, I'll get up and come down there." So I got up and dressed, and I drove way out from where I lived, out way out northwest. And it took me an hour, hour and a half to get down there. When I got down there, I walked into the hospital, and I saw a doctor there, and I asked him if he knew where this certain man was. And he said, "Yeah, he's right down in that room." I said, "How's he doing?" And he said, "Well, he appears to be stable, but said he'd have been better off if he died." I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Well, the paramedic said he didn't have any oxygen to his brain for 20 or 30 minutes. So he said, if the guy recovers, he'll be a vegetable." I said, "No." I said, "Doc, you see those hands?" I held my hands out in front of him. And he said, "Yes." I said, "Jesus told me there's healing power in those hands. Jesus told me clearly in Mark chapter 16, verse 18, to lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. He didn't say they'll be a vegetable." Well, the man thought I was absolutely a fool. He didn't say a word. He just turned and walked off. And so it's amazing how many people that your Jesus is so tiny. You know, if your Jesus is so tiny, you won't be able to see Jesus do any of these mighty things. But I'm telling you, Jesus is awesome. So I went in that room. I quoted Mark 16:18. I said, "Now, Father, you said for me to lay my hands on this man and you'll heal him." So I said, "Be healed in the name of Jesus." 2 or 3 weeks later, the man's back at work. He's better than he ever was, and he worked until he retired, and that man's still alive and well today, many years later. And it was all because I believed God's word and took the name of Jesus and spoke it and saw the Lord do a great and mighty work in that man's life. Now, that's what you can do by faith in the name of Jesus. Now, let's go on a little further here, and let's look at some other things that we can do with evil spirits in the name of Jesus. We're going to go on over to Acts chapter 16, where Paul now is a true man of God. Everybody realizes he's a son of God. He is definitely on fire for Jesus. And so, and Paul goes into a city, and it says, "Then a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, had heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized in her household, she besought us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide with me. And so she constrained us. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us." Now, this is in Acts 16:16. Now, Paul here here is a young woman that is possessed with a spirit of divination. And she met them, and she which brought her masters much money by soothsaying or telling fortunes. Now the same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us a way of salvation. And this did she many days. Now, you think about what this woman did here, and you think about this woman, you know, for many days she was telling these people these things. Now then, let's see what happens. In the scriptures, it says that as this woman followed Paul and telling people how to get saved, she was telling everybody the way of salvation, and this she did for many days. You know, I mean, we would normally say, hey, this is what this is all about. We want people to come about and tell us how to be saved. But no, this was a demon in this woman that was telling or preaching the gospel. And Paul didn't like it, and it says this woman did this for many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit. Now, he didn't say to the woman. He said to the Spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. Now, then, you got to realize that we as Christians, Paul was a normal Christian. Paul had this power over these evil spirits. Jesus clearly told you and me, in Luke 10:19-20, Jesus said, behold, I give unto you power or authority to trample on the serpent and his scorpions, or Satan and his demons. All power is given to you over them. They shall in no wise hurt you. He said, nevertheless, rejoice not in this, that the evil spirits have to be subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Now that is a mighty thing to learn. That you and me, just like Paul, when Paul turned to that spirit in that woman, had that spirit of divination and said, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, come out of her. It said that spirit came out. Now you and I have that very same power over these evil spirits. Don't let these beasts intimidate you, because that's what they're going to try to do. They're going to try to beat up on you and convince you that they have power over you and you have no power over them. But it's just exactly the opposite. They have no power over you, and you have all power over them. So when you speak in faith in the name of Jesus and command these evil spirits to come out, they have to come out. We just had a woman the other day that had a spirit in church in a healing school that manifested and started screaming, and I just was cool and calm as I could be, and I told that devil to come out of her in the name of Jesus. And it didn't take me just a few minutes. We got that woman completely set free. Praise the King. At one of our healing schools. We teach a healing school 2 Saturdays a month in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex. Go to our website, www.tlsm.org, and there you can order free audio and video teachings, and you can see where we're going to be speaking. You can see where our healing schools are, and everything we do is free. You don't have to sign up for nothing. Just come. And if you'd like to have audio and video tapes, just give us a call at 940-242-2106. And we'll be happy to send you a box, postpaid, free, of audio and video teachings of the Word of God. Praise the name of our Jesus.